and welcome to Film Footsteps, the podcast where we footstep through our lives through movies. I'm Jason.
Je m'appelle Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Yes, welcome.
Bienvenue.
What?
Bienvenue.
Yeah, hello.
Salut.
Who are you?
Qui es-tu?
Okay, this is going to be difficult.
Okay, ça va être difficile.
Are you the bon cop or the bad cop?
Oh, moi, parce que je suis français, je suis le bad cop.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right, well, welcome, everybody. Ashley, are you ever going to speak in English on this one?
Absolutely pas.
It's going to be fun. All right, I leave to you then.
It's going to be a long hour.
Wait, what? Who's this? You're actually speaking?
Who are you? What's happening?
Okay. Hey, how do we start this podcast? I forgot. It's been a while.
Well, you should tell them what movie we're doing.
Okay. We're doing Bon Cop, Bad Cop.
We're doing Bon Cop, Bad Cop.
That's
this
right.
This is, I think, obviously an Ashley pick.
Mm-hmm.
If you've heard of this and you don't live in Canada, we love to see it.
Actually, tell us how you found out, because it is on Netflix, which I was surprised by. So there is a chance that somebody stumbled upon this and was like, hey, let's go.
Yes.
I know a lot of people that actually do that. They scroll through Netflix and are just like, I watch things that I've never seen before.
Not me, friend.
Not me either.
Not me.
With the unlimited choice, that means I get to make the ultimate choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
For greater responsibility.
So are you asking me how I knew that this was on Netflix or how I knew about this film, period?
No, you were saying that like if somebody who doesn't live in Canada and has seen this film,
because
it's a very Canadian film,
yeah,
Canadian made film. Please tell us, how did you find it? Or what made you watch it?
I would truly love to know. Also, I don't know if Bun Cop, Bad Cop, like, is a title that makes any sense if you don't speak English and French.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
So bun in French means good. So it literally is a play on the bilingualism of good cop, bad cop.
It's good cop, bad cop.
2006 released film starring Colin Fiore and Patrick Huard. The brief recap, which I will say the one that I found is incredibly brief, but not incorrect, is an English-speaking officer from Toronto and a French-speaking cop from Montreal are forced to work together to solve a crime. Slightly more in-depth, Bun Cop, Bad Cop is a 2006 Canadian black comedy thriller buddy cop film about two police officers, one Ontarian and one Québécois, who reluctantly join forces to solve a murder. The dialogue is a mixture of English and French, hence Bun Cop, Bad Cop, Good Cop, Bad Cop as the title.
Yes. And also, I just want to note that please stick around till the end of this podcast, or, you know, if you don't have any, you know, let's say if you don't have any interest in Bon Cop, Bad Cop, then how dare you? But
then listen and you might learn something.
Then fast forward and go to the end, and because we're going to talk about the future of the Film Footsteps podcast, or as my notes call it, the Footsteps podcast.
The Footsteps podcast.
I wrote Footsteps podcast. We have some changes here we're going to make, and we have some input that we'd like to get from you all watching this. But instead, we're going to talk about Bon Cop, Good Cop, Bad Cop.
No.
I'm never going to get this title.
You should show some respect and learn the title of the
I should
movie.
Show some respect to a 2006 movie.
Yeah.
Bon Cop, Good Cop.
No.
Bad Cop, Bon Cop.
No, it's Bon Cop, Bad Cop.
Bon Cop, Bad Cop.
The double B is the alliteration.
Yes, I understand. Let's talk about it.
I don't think you do. It was directed by Eric Canuel and was written by Leila Bassin, Alex Epstein, Patrick Huard, and Kevin Tierney. It stars Patrick Huard.
So he helped write it.
He helped write it. He plays the French cop in the movie.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can you say his last name again, Patrick?
Huard.
Huard.
Yeah.
How is that spelled?
Huard.
Okay. Do you know him? Or is he recognizable to you outside of this movie?
Yes.
Okay, so
he's a very famous French-Canadian actor who starred very early on in his career in a movie which became a trilogy called Les Boys, which means The Boys.
Yeah.
It's a very, like, heavily accented French way to be like, you know, like your group of friends would be like Les Boys. You'd be like, I'm going out with Les Boys.
So Canadians,
and so it's like a French Canadian comedy trilogy.
Because Americans, we know Colm Fiore because he has appeared.
It's Colm.
Colm Fiore.
Colm
excuse
Fiore.
Me. Yes, it's like Colm Meaney. Yes,
yes, exactly.
He's in For All Mankind. He's in Thor.
Yeah.
He is in a bunch of Storm of the Century, Stephen King Storm
he's
of the Century.
He's in a million American
He's in a million things.
Things.
We recognize him, but Canadians definitely know who Patrick is.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So this was like two Canadian legends.
And well, even on top of this, for my good Canadian friends, Rick Mercer is in this movie. Rick Mercer, a lazy comparison, is that he is our Stephen Colbert.
Oh, he was the TV host in this movie, right?
He plays a very homophobic, and he's also very out and proud, homophobic TV host in there. And so there's three very iconic Canadian performers in this movie.
Well, and it's also funny, during his scenes, I noticed that they kept making gay jokes towards him, which I was like, oh, this is, once you told me who he was, I was like, oh, this is very intentional.
Yes. A very, very smart man.
Okay, so...
Oh, so just a couple more things.
Sorry.
So it stars Patrick Wilde, Colin Fiore, Rick Mercer, and a bunch of other nice Canadian folks. It was only released in Canada. It did play at film festivals internationally, but it never got a wide theatrical release anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It is in both English and French. Mm-hmm. The budget was $800 million Canadian.
Are you?
I'm sorry, 8 million. I keep saying 800 million.
It's not more expensive than Avengers Endgame.
I wish. 8 million Canadian dollars. And the box office,
that's good for 8 million,
actually. Which is in US dollars, is $12,665,721.
So it didn't really make its money back.
Well, for an independent film, it was a success.
But it only made 12.
Yeah, and the budget was $8 million.
Well, yeah.
It's an independent film, which probably didn't have a marketing budget.
Well, that's
so
fair.
So you have to consider that. But the $8 million is probably the whole budget.
But usually you want to double it, but I understand.
Right, it's a modest success. It was successful enough they made a sequel 16 years later,
2017.
Even though the box office gross is not gigantic on this, this movie was huge.
In Canada.
Yeah. Because Canada, like a lot of other particularly English-speaking countries, and because of the nature of our relationship with the United States and our borders and such, we import a lot of American media. Most of our media is American. In fact, there is a law in Canada that more than 50% of the content, whether that's written, whether that's on radio, music, television, film, over 50% of it has to be Canadian content. So we have CanCon laws.
Okay.
And despite that, not all CanCon things pop. So this was huge for us that this was popular.
So why did you pick this movie for this podcast?
So I picked this movie because 2006 was a time in my life where I was getting like very, very serious about being an actor.
Yes.
I was like looking at going away to school. I was looking away at different training, stuff like that. And also because I grew up I spent my high school years in the same city that Colin Fiore lived in. Mm-hmm. I went to school with his children and I knew him. Mm-hmm. So when this popped off as well, it was something that I really admired, that because like we knew that he went to the States and did things and was like famous, right? Because we know the difference between Canadian famous and like actually famous. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that like he could in Canada make a whole movie, and this looked like
A regular movie,
right? Yeah. It doesn't look like a little independent thing that 12 people shot.
The only thing that makes it look cheap is the editing.
Is the chase scene.
Yeah.
is the chase scene in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Which Jason really LOLOL'd that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like this for me showed me that like you could make Canadian content in Canada with Canadian people and it could be something.
For $8 million, this movie looks really good. Looks really good for $8 million.
I've probably seen this movie 10 times, 10 or 12 times. It was such a moment in time for us as well. And it's a movie I've been trying to get Jason to watch for a really long time.
Oh, was it?
I
don't remember you mentioning it before.
I've mentioned this so many times.
Sure.
So this was just, I think, a really good excuse.
Bun cop, bad cop.
Would you like to know what won the weekend in the United States in the international box office?
Oh, I didn't figure you'd have this answer, but go ahead.
Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
I saw that in theaters.
August 4th weekend.
I saw that in theaters.
So Jason, now traditionally is when I ask, where did you first see this? So Jason-
Two nights ago.
Where did you first see this?
2 nights ago on Netflix, American Netflix, in my own apartment.
There you go. Yeah.
Where did you first see this?
I first saw this-
At Colin Fiore's house?
No, not at Colin Fiore's house.
His basement?
No, I don't remember if he had a basement.
His personal screening room.
In our local theater in Stratford, Ontario, Canada, which had 4 screens.
Yeah.
I went and saw it with everyone from my high school went to see this. Mm-hmm. I saw this opening weekend, and then this was just like a DVD that everyone owned in university. So I've seen this 100
million times. So it was like as soon as you cross the Canadian border, they're like, hey, do you have your copy of Bon Cop, Good Cop?
That's
Bon Cop, Bad Cop?
That's right.
Yeah. You have a copy?
You become a citizen, you get Bon Cop, Bad Cop, The Complete Red, Green, and Lay Boys so that you can work on your bilingualism as you are going into
probably like another DVD of Corner Gas.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love Corner Gas. Jason would not get on the Corner Gas train with me. I have to say, I was very sad.
Go Google it. It's fine.
Corner Gas, my beloved.
Although I will say the lead actor of Corner Gas follows me on Twitter for some reason.
Brett Budd follows you on Twitter?
Yeah, we talk sometimes. Yeah, he follows me on Twitter. I don't know why.
I love him very much. Yeah. That's I did not know
he
that.
Just released the book.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I think it's called like Butt Talks.
Yes. I mean, he was a stand-up before that.
His last name is actually spelled B-U-T-T.
Yeah, no, that's his last name.
Actually like Butt. Yeah. So he like leans into it.
So I'm going to talk you very, very loosely through the plot. So we find a body hanging over the top of a road sign right on the Ontario-Quebec border. And so through these opening sequences, we meet the two bun cop and bad cop. We meet David Bouchard, who is a rule-bending francophone detective from Sûreté du Québec, which is kind of like their provincial police, who is played by Patrick Watt. And then Martin Ward, who's the by-the-book Anglophone Ontario Provincial Police detective. We call them the OPP, and that is Colm Feore.
It's a good setup.
It is. It's really good.
The body hanging over the sign that is the welcome to
the
Quebec.
The demarcation of the border.
Yeah, the actual border. Yeah, or you're leaving Ontario. It's a really good setup.
And you see them and they're both dads and they're both daddy cops who are married to their job and they both have children. But the French cop has a young girl and the English cop has a young boy who's played by that guy from Continuum whose name I can never remember.
Here's the simplest way to put it. And it's interesting because this came up several times. And I said this to Ashley several times. This movie apes a lot of Lethal Weapon.
Well, it's a good thing I've never seen Lethal Weapon. I had no frame of reference.
Ashley hasn't seen any of the four Lethal Weapon movies.
I'm going to say that most of them were released before I was alive.
And I would say that you only need to see two of them.
I'm going to bet you I see none.
Ashley, that's fine, because to be honest with you, even
I can just keep watching Bun Cop, Bad Cop.
Even at the height of like my movie watching, I never really loved Lethal Weapon. It's fine. You watch Lethal Weapon to be like, oh, this is where all the cliches and tropes come from.
Yeah.
But this movie, the bad cop, is a literal copy of, he's kind of a nicer version of Mel Gibson's character from Lethal Weapon. And Colm Feore is basically Danny
Glover.
Danny Glover. Yeah. I'm too old for this shit.
Colm Feore, when you meet him with his son, he's trying to be like cool dad and he's trying to be a DJ. And that scene makes me laugh because that is who I knew him to be when I was growing up. Like that is very much just like who he is. And then he plays this very like severe OPP officer the rest of the time. And so they have to try and decide who is going to lead the investigation. And in a very, very silly sequence wherein the body is ripped in half and half of it falls into Quebec.
Which is a funny bit.
It is. It's funny. It's not as gross as you would think it is. And half of it falls into Ontario. They decide that they are going to team up and they're going to work together. The body is identified as a hockey executive because this is Canada, baby. And he has a unique tattoo on his arm. And so over the course of the movie, he becomes the person they're hunting for becomes known as the tattoo killer. So they're hunting for the tattoo killer and they know that the tattoo killer has something to do with hockey. One of the next victims is the first female agent in this. And it's a fake hockey league. It's not the NHL and they're fake teams because they only had $8 million, not $800 million and couldn't pay to license the Maple Leafs and the Habs. So they kill the first female hockey agent. So everyone we come across is like a thinly veiled hockey reference coming from the tattoo killer.
Well, this whole movie is that the serial killer is committing these crimes because he's mad that a Canadian hockey team went to America.
Yes, and he's mad because he was a early draft and he got removed from the fictional NHL for smoking cannabis. And boy, if you want to see the reefer madness of the early mid aughts, there's a sequence in here where they find a whole grow operation in someone's basement and they try to play it off like it's the worst crime in the world.
Well, let's also talk about this. The bad cop, Patrick, is not really that bad of a cop.
Okay, so in Canada, there's a couple shorthands for making a character French. It's kind of like how in the United States, if you want to say someone's dumb, you do the Southern accent.
Yeah, you talk like this.
Or you make them like a hillbilly, or how in the United Kingdom, if you're trying to say someone's done, you would give them like a Northern accent or maybe like a brogue. So in Canada, if somebody is quote unquote crazy, mm-hmm. or if they're sexy, then mm-hmm. they're always French. And that is very much who Patrick Huard plays. And his character's name is David Bouchard.
But he's actually just kind of lazy.
He's kind of a jerk.
He's not really that mean. He's not really that. He's
not a bad cop either. Neither of them is corrupt.
He's kind of just a fuck up. He's just kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Which again, when I'm comparing this to like Lethal Weapon, because in Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson is the bad cop. And beyond his personal stuff, in the movie, his character is literally crazy. His character is suicidal.
Yeah.
And is like really pussy. So it's interesting, again, in that perspective. And I know as well, again, this is only $80 million movie, but it was interesting for the bad cop that you're like, oh, I guess this for me, like really showed some of the Canadianism here, mm-hmm. where I was like, oh, the bad cop is actually like, he's still a good dad. He's still like a good guy.
Well, not to get too deep into the weeds on like politics or the politics of policing.
Sure.
You also have to understand that police operate a little differently in Canada, yes, yeah. and they don't quite have the same amount of leeway and autonomy that they do in the States.
As it should be, is the way I feel.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it's necessarily better, and I'm not, but it's just a little different. So they're a little softer, I would say, than like your American, like, buddy cops.
I'm just making the character choice of that. The bad cop is not that bad.
I mean, the worst thing that he does is he has sex with
the good
Colin Fiore's character's sister.
By the way, not bad.
Which is this.
Consenting adults.
That scene is very iconic because she's like, teach me how to say something in French. And he teaches her how to say vive le Québec libre, which means like long live free Quebec, which is something that the separatists who want Quebec to secede from Canada, that's something that they say. And in all of the trailers for this, like when this movie was on cable rotation, you would always see that scene where she's like, vive le Québec libre, was always, 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 always in the commercials for like, we have this movie. Mm-hmm. The mystery culminates with the bad cop's daughter, Gabrielle, being kidnapped by the tattoo killer. And of course, English cop and French cop have to team up together to capture.
Well, an English cop has to use some of bad cop's ways.
Yes.
And bad cop has to use some of English cop's ways to win the day.
To take him down. Yep. The character, Terrier.
Very Lethal Weapon.
And the reason I was bringing up all the hockey stuff before is if you are a fan of the NHL, particularly on the Canadian side, there used to be a team in Quebec that doesn't exist anymore called the Quebec Nordiques, and they were sold to the United States. I believe they became the Colorado Avalanche. And so in the fiction of the movie, it's the Quebec Fleur de Lis, and they're being sold to Colorado. So the movie ends, Gabrielle is saved. Both of the cops go on to, you know, commendations and pat on the back. Aren't they so great? They're friends now. They have an understanding. And the hockey commissioner comes on and says, we're never, ever selling any Canadian teams to the South.
See, you added a bunch of stuff to the movie. We don't know that. The movie just fades to black after the cops kill the bad guy with a bomb. We don't know whether they get accolades. We don't know whether they get, we haven't seen the sequel. We don't know. It just fades.
Well, one presumes that they go on and get celebrated.
I don't know. It depends. I have some specific stuff I would like to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
You just went through the whole movie.
It's because I've got some fun facts I want to get to.
I found some trivia too.
Okay.
So there's a point early in the movie where Comfior goes to Quebec and the daughter introduces a sleepover.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to say that up until that point, I kind of thought the movie was pretty solid.
Uh-huh.
And it's the sleepover with even though before that point
is this movie is a comedy.
I understand, but I think the sleepover breaks the reality of, because look, I was even willing. There's a 100-foot parking lot. There's a scene very early on where Comfior is riding with the bad cop,
Patrick Wilde.
And again, he doesn't even have a really cool car. He just has a shitty like 70s Camaro or something like that. It's not even a great car. And it was also a cop trope. And to show that he's bad, he gets impatient in a parking lot and drives on the street. And the parking lot is maybe 100 feet long. But yet they make this sequence last 5 minutes and have like everybody in the parking lot be like, get out of the way! Ah! And he is barely driving at 30 miles per hour because you can tell from the way they're filming it. But they're like sort of speed ramping it. And they just keep cutting to reactions of like bad cop and Colin Fiore and bad cop and Colin Fiore. And then they show the car and the car is like barely moving. And I was like, oh, that was the first time where I realized that, oh, this movie only has an $8 million budget. It was fine. But it's the sleepover. The fact that these like two enemies are like, oh, yeah, let's, I'm just going to stay at your house. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it would make no sense if our scene, our next scene is in Quebec and I'm in Toronto in the next scene. So, yeah. Anyways, there were some moments in this, like I would say the same thing happens in Lethal Weapon. The same things happens in Rush Hour. That was the point where you were like, OK, this is definitely like an action movie that does not care about its story that much.
I also think the 2006 is showing there as well. Fun fact about the Gabrielle, the daughter, she is played by this French Canadian actress called Sarah Jean Labrousse. She actually returns and reprises her role in 2017's Bun Cup Bad Cup 2. She's also, if anybody watches Eastern, we watched Eastern Promises, she's Tatiana. She's the young girl in Eastern Promises. That's kind of her.
Cool.
Her biggest thing. Okay, can I tell you my fun fact about production?
Sure.
So Bun Cup Bad Cop, when it was on its, you know, like promotional tour, they kept claiming to be Canada's first bilingual film. There's a lot of French and a lot of English.
That can't be true, though, right?
So it's not.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Amanita Pestilé that came out in 1963, which, according to film historians, is actually Canada's first functionally bilingual film. And here is my favorite fun fact about this movie. The entire movie was filmed using both an all-French script and then again using an all-English script. And the languages used at each moment was finalized only during editing.
So they did every scene twice.
At least, yeah. In English and in French.
Okay, so
and then they probably also did a cut up version where they were where they alternated certain lines.
Well, okay, so I was gonna say like, yeah,
there are scenes where Colin Fiore is speaking English too.
Yeah, so I was gonna say like so there are versions where Colin Fiore is speaking French and the bad cop would be speaking English.
Yes.
Weird.
Yeah.
I wonder why they did that.
So they could fix it in editing, yeah, so they could make their choices.
But if the whole gag was that he would...
You think it gives you as much coverage as possible?
I would understand if you would do that for, like, to release a different version of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, like, you're like, oh, we're going to release, you know, like, the Colin Fiore speaking French bit in Quebec, and we're going to do the other one ever, you know, but like, I don't understand why you would do that for editing. That makes no sense to me.
That's interesting, because I was like, this is nowhere near as wild as like how the Mission Impossible movies slap everything together.
This is way wilder than that. Because to me, I'm like, so you didn't know what, because some of the moments in this movie,
some of the jokes are specifically around language
they're
barriers.
Very specific to being in either English or French. Mm-hmm. And if you're just being like, well, we're just going to flip those around for every scene. How the hell would you know if any joke ever worked on set?
Well, like, for example, there's a scene where they're deciding that the cops are going to work together. So they both go to speak to their superiors.
Yes.
And the whole gag of that is that they don't know that the French cop speaks English and that the English cop speaks French. So their bosses are translating for like half the scene. Like, that scene was probably just filmed as we saw it. Mm. But I think what they mean more by this is like the all English scenes, like between Colin Fiore and his family, and the all French scenes, like between Patrick Wilde and his family, were probably all shot in English and in French.
Mm.
And then they probably did scenes together where they flipped.
You know, there might be another version of this too, where I wonder if another reason they did this is because they were like, and this is going to sound, I don't know if this will sound terrible or anything, like, I wonder if there was a certain point where like the directors and the producers were like, we can't have this much French in the film.
I don't know, because it never got wider release. For you to be able to call this film bilingual, it has to be 50-50.
And they do call this film
legally
bilingual.
Yeah. Oh, okay, like, that's the only way something can be, functionally bilingual per Canadian law.
I don't know whether that would make your film better off for, selling it in places or worse off.
This movie was huge culturally.
So it didn't matter whether it was bilingual or not.
No. And as a result, there are technically two official versions. One for Anglophones and one for Francophones. Okay. So we watched the Anglophone version. Yeah. So technically the Anglophone version has like five lines in English instead of French. And technically the Francophone version has like five more lines in French than English. Okay. And it's also the subtitle. So if you watch the Anglophone version, the French is subtitled. And you watch the Francophone version, the English is subtitled.
Interesting.
In French.
Interesting. That's what a weird choice. Okay.
Yeah. So, and it was wild because this is the only time I've ever watched this movie with subtitles. We watched this in my grade 11 French class. So we watched it entirely with French subtitles, but every other time I've watched it, like I don't watch this movie with subtitles.
Well, yeah. Cause you don't need it.
Yeah. So watching it with English subtitles was like a trip, but I also wanted to bring this up because, when I was living in Stratford, I saw Colin Fjord do a play called Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yes.
And he did it as Cyrano, the lead character, some days of the week completely in English, some days of the week completely in French, and he was the only person who was the same in both cast.
Wow.
And he did this all in the same year. So, like, this for him, it must be a trick that he loves pulling out.
That he is fluent.
And his French is very good. He's he's great. He's a very good actor, very great performance.
He's a solid actor, yeah.
Patrick Gouard has like a heavier Quebecois accent.
Yes.
Quebecer. Sort of less of like a, yeah, less
term
of a.
Term I'd never heard before.
Quebecer. A schoolboy accent. Yeah. Really? You've never heard that before?
No.
Oh, yeah. Quebecer.
I'd never heard that. Quebecer.
And then at one point they go to see the coroner, the like lab guy. And he's very much.
Super French.
Very much Greg from CSI Vegas.
There's like a lot of CSI in this 100% movie.
100%. Yeah. Where he's like nerdy and kind of weird. And he has the like Hicksville, Northern Quebec French act. There's a joke in the movie where Colin Fjord was like, could you understand what he said? And Patrick Wild is like about half of it.
Sure.
So like even for Francophones, he's supposed to be difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. And I also want to share my fun fact that Bun Cop Bad Cops is the film that has become the highest grossing Canadian film domestically. And do you have a guess, Jason, at what it dethroned? It's a 1980s comedy.
Strange Brew.
Porky's.
Oh, okay.
So Porky's previously held it with $11.2 million, and Bun Cop Bad Cop nerfed it by eking up over 12.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Porky's was a Canadian production?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Huh. Independent release in these United States.
Wow. Did not know
that. So there you go.
I'm not a fan of Porky's. It also has not aged well at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to recommend. Not going to recommend that you check Porky's out.
None of those
sort
of 70s college movies have aged well at all. Not a single one of them.
Yeah. So Jason, I would love to sort of have a short discussion with you.
Uh-huh.
And it's more of me being like, do you have any questions?
About?
What was it like watching? Does this watch like a foreign film to you?
No, absolutely not.
I was like, what is this like watching if you don't know Canada? Because so many of the references are very Canadian.
No, it does not watch like a foreign film at all. Uh-huh. Actually, it seems very American.
Uh-huh.
The things that make it Canadian are, yes, like that the storyline is all about hockey.
Yeah.
That everybody is super polite.
Yeah.
That even the bad cop is pretty tame.
Pretty nice. Yeah.
He's a pretty nice guy.
He's just kind of a mess is his
Again,
problem.
Like I said, he's a fuck up. He's not a bad cop.
Yeah.
He's just a lazy cop.
He also has one of the healthiest relationships with an ex-wife that I've ever seen on television.
Yeah, they live in the same house.
Yeah. He lives upstairs. She lives downstairs. So it's very like modern.
Yeah. I mean, no, it doesn't read like a foreign film at all. It does feel very innocent in a lot of places.
How do you mean?
Well, like there's no real danger, really.
Uh-huh.
Like I know that at one point the villain kidnaps the bad cop's daughter.
Yeah.
But there's no real tension.
Mm-hmm.
In no respect did I ever think she was going to blow up.
They did blow up his car, which he spends the next 12 scenes referencing.
That's fair, but nobody dies. Like, and again, they do the trick out that you think there's somebody in the back of the truck,
which is
a big insidey incident because like Colm Fjord was like, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's a dead body. There was a dead body in that trunk.
Yeah,
or there was a suspect in that trunk. But no, that's the thing that makes it feel Canadian to me is that there isn't a lot of high stakes. A lot of the movie is just like kind of in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and we're just kind of reacting to things. Mm-hmm. Neither of our protagonists are that active, and that's fine because like
they're cops by definition, they're reactive.
But also for comedies, your characters are reactive because reacting is how you get punchlines.
Yeah.
If your protagonists are active, mm-hmm. it becomes a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know?
And they're very reactive mm-hmm. cops, which is fine. This is a comedy. But like also there's points where I'm like, oh, and a little bit of this is the budget too, but it never really gets to a point where you're just like, even the comedy builds. Like, the movie is kind of always at, like, a 7,
mm-hmm.
and it never goes above or below that 7.
I don't know. I laughed out loud several times.
yeah, and maybe that's the thing about it as an American. Like, I think I only, like, laughed out loud once.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's another thing. There's another point where I was like, that's the funniest joke you could come up with. Like, there were, like, some of the jokes.
Canada, we're known for our comedy, too.
I guess.
For our comedian experts.
You're known for your comedic actors.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you're known for your comedic writers, but... they're like one of the funniest aspects actually was the sex scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was only because of the editing, because it kept cutting between the sex scene and Colmvior getting the shit beat out of him by the crook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were saying lines in the sex scene. And then when they cut to Colmvior, that's what the crook was doing to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so you were like, oh, okay, this is a funny gag mm-hmm. that it's like we're going from sex to like, bah, 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 like the guy getting the crap beat out of him.
Yeah.
Like that. And then also, it was a funny gag to, even though like it was pretty, you knew what was going to happen. Like below the house, they had the weed farm.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
it caught on fire.
Yeah,
and I was
course.
Like, oh, they're immediately going to get high. But it was funny that they cut to the next scene and both the cops were like, hey, boss, how's it going?
Yeah, they were pretty funny in that.
Yeah, acting high. Like that was one of the funnier scenes.
I actually thought one of the funniest things is at the end, who you think is the bad guy, but who turns out to be the puppet bad guy is in a hockey mascot outfit.
Oh, I was going
to
say the mascot stuff was funny because they do.
Get the head on.
They do chase one of the villains and he's dressed like a giant beaver.
Yeah.
And that is pretty funny.
Yeah.
That they have this, like, there's a fight scene with a giant beaver guy.
Yeah. To me, that's very Canadian. Like, it's very silly. It's very silly. It's very over the top. I think this movie lives and dies by the cast, honestly, and particularly by the leads. Like, I think if it wasn't Patrick Wild.
Patrick and Colm do a really good job. Yep.
I don't know because
I agree.
Watching this is my first time watching this in maybe 10 years. I was like, oh, I loved this movie and like 12 out of 10 would watch again.
Sure.
Spoiler for the end of the podcast. But the writing is not as strong. And perhaps that's because it has four writers credited on it, is not as strong as I probably thought this was in 2006. I think they carry a lot of it in that they both take it very seriously. Like they are both
They're playing it straight.
Like they are serious, dramatic actors.
Colmvior is acting like he's in a Law & Order episode, which I actually said during the movie, I was like, oh, he would have been great on Law & Order as like a captain or something.
I mean, Colmvior for all things, honestly.
I would love to work with him.
Cast him in everything.
Yeah.
I think if they had gone into this, if they were either weaker actors or if they had gone into this leaning more into the comedy, I don't think this movie would be like a thing the way that it is for us, because like it's fun. It's also just fun watching them together.
Yeah,
they're having a good time as two actors performing together.
That is the strength of this movie.
Yeah,
that it is their acting. It is that the two leads are good.
Yeah,
and they have a good chemistry. And they work. That's the reason why at no point of this movie I was bored.
Mm-hmm. It's also only 116 minutes long. It's not a very long movie.
It's a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
But it's not a short movie by any means. But you know, but I'm saying that it's not 3 hours long. But it's like it's not 90 minutes.
No, but like it's
2 hours.
It's no time to die.
it's no Lord of the Rings.
True.
But yeah, there were some points. There were points where the story to me got stupid.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I never thought that they got stupid.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
There were some points where I was like, that's the scene we chose to put here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know you really loved all the mid-aughts Bluetooth action that we got going
on. That was a lot of it.
There was also one point where Jason was like, look at that old MacBook.
yeah.
behind him. Like I mentioned, this movie does also get a sequel, 2017's Bun Cup Bad Cop 2. And I want to let you know, all you Bun Cup Bad Cop fans, earlier this year,
yes,
Bell Media, one of Canada's larger media groups, terrible cell phone service provider, announced an 8-episode television series was in development featuring both original actors reprising their roles.
So there's going to be a Bun Cop Bad Cop television show? Show
with Patrick Wilde and Colm Feore.
What?
Yep.
Ashley, we have to watch Bun Cop Bad Cop too.
I'm afraid it's going to be really bad, Jason.
You've never seen it, right?
No. I didn't even know it existed until this year.
Yeah.
Because, look, spoiler alert, 2017, I was fully living in Canada, living in the United States, making podcasts for you all. So.
Yeah, you were doing Geek Hustle sometimes.
You're welcome, friend.
Yeah. I was forcing you to watch Westerns or something.
That's probably. Would you like to know, Jason, some of the awards that Bun Cup Bad Cup won?
Will I know any of these awards?
I'm going to say no.
Well, then I guess you can tell them to me if you want.
So have you ever heard of the Genie Awards?
Nope.
So the Genie Awards are awards giving out by the Academy of Canadian Cinema and Television.
Uh-huh. What did this win through them?
Oh, baby. At the 27th Annual Genie Awards, this won Best Motion Picture and Best Sound. It was nominated for but did not win Best Actor for Colm Feore, Best Actor for Patrick Huard.
And this would be for, this is exclusively Canadian.
Canadian,
films.
Yeah. Best Direction, Best Art Direction, Cinematography, Editing, Sound Editing, and Best Original Song.
Can I tell you a fun fact that I found out about this movie?
Sure, I'm not done with the awards, but sure.
Okay, keep going with these Canadian awards then.
It was also nominated for 4 Canadian Comedy Awards. It won 3 of them. It won Best Direction, Best Writing, Best Actor for Colm Feore. He beat out Patrick Huard, so that was the loss.
Take that, Patrick.
And then lastly, but not leastly, it also won the Billet d'Or, which is the golden ticket at Quebec's 2007 Jutra Award.
That's a good name for an award, the golden ticket. I like that.
This is an award that's given to the film with the highest grossing box office success.
Interesting. So that was in America. It'd be a lot of Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah, it sure would. Yep. So those are
Jurassic Park movies.
Those are all the awards that it won. So not too bad, honestly. For a domestic release, it won some decent domestic awards. Now you may share your fun facts, Jason.
I found this on IMDb trivia.
Okay.
But there's a scene in this movie, which is very weird, where these cops go to a sports show.
Yes.
And for some reason,
Rick Mercer's there.
The sports show host invites these cops on the air to talk about a murder, basically on Canadian SportsCenter. Makes no damn sense.
Should have been on TSN.
And of course, the murderer happens to be watching this.
Yeah, it's an obvious send up of Hockey Night in Canada.
And it's a send up of Ransom, the Mel Gibson movie, going back to a Mel Gibson connection. So Bouchard. He says to the killer, he's like, oh, you want to talk to me? Talk to me. And he gives out a phone number.
Yeah.
Apparently the actor, apparently in the final movie, his lips do not match his audio for this.
Did he give out his real phone number?
He apparently in the take gave out his real phone number.
Oh, and they were like, this is the best take.
So if you can read
Patrick Ward's lips,
you know, Bouchard's,
you know his phone number circa 2006.
Yeah, you might know his phone number. Yeah, which I was like, that is an interesting fact that he just like auto inserted that.
But you know, I mean, you know, you've performed. Sometimes you're just like caught up in the moment and like your brain isn't all the way connected. That is a fun fact. I didn't have that
I screamed out my phone number every time I performed Hamlet.
Did you?
Yeah.
At which part?
To be or not to be, 213-435-55555.
That is not the part you played in Hamlet. You did not play Hamlet. Can you vamp for a second so I can plug in my laptop?
Sure. Everybody, I'm going to tell you right again. Bad Cop Bouchard's car. Absolute piece of shit.
Okay.
Piece of shit. And they tried to make it like it was a badass car.
Mon cher. What happened to mon cher?
It was a piece of crap. Piece of crap.
Thank you for your vamping.
You're welcome.
Jason, shall we do the Film Footsteps Awards?
That's the first time we've ever called them that.
That's what we call them every single time.
We don't call them the awards, but yes, we can do that. Yes,
the FF Awards, yes.
The FF Awards.
Sure. I will remind anyone at home, maybe this is your first time listening, maybe you're Patrick Huard and you're listening to us talk about you.
Ooh, please come on the podcast.
We are, truly.
How do you say his last name again?
Huard.
I'm never going to get that. I'm sorry, Patrick.
It's like Ward.
Do you think we could get him for a movie, Patrick?
Yes.
Really?
I think we could get Colm Feore for a movie.
You think we could get Colm Feore?
Yeah.
We should write Colm Feore something then.
I mean, you can write Colin Fiore or something.
Maybe I will.
I'll
I mean,
consult.
Why don't you? Well, you're going to have to make the introduction because you babysat his kids.
Sure.
He'll answer your email. He won't answer my email.
Seen him in 15
you
years.
Yeah, play that card though. Like if you're like, me and my husband wrote this movie, he might be like, oh, wonderful.
He's not English.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful.
He says his R's. He's
yes, I'm down here, Loki.
Yes, that's exactly.
I was in the storm of the century, and I also rule Jotunheim.
Now do your impression of Colin Fiore as Von Braun.
No.
Mago. So anyway, if you're Colin Fiore and you're listening, our categories are...
By the way,
are...
he was the villain against Tim Daly. Superman himself in Storm of the Century.
I don't know what Storm of the Century is. Is that the one where he plays Satan?
Yeah, he's Satan. Oh. Yeah, he's basically Satan. It was the first Stephen King project where they did the movie first before the book released. So they did like in the 90s, they did all these like Stephen King like miniseries where like the books got adapted to like the TV movie of the week, and it would be like two or three parts. And Storm of the Century was the first one that the movie came out before. He basically like it's a town. It's actually Roanoke. They're in Roanoke.
Roanoke.
I've always heard it called Roanoke.
I thought it was just, whatever. It doesn't really matter.
I could be wrong. I don't know. That very famous village that disappears. There's a town there to this day. And he shows up in the middle of this giant hurricane. And he says, I was the one that made the village disappear the last time. And he was like, he's basically Satan. He looks like a sailor. And he's like, give me one of your children of my choosing, and I will save you from the storm. And he's like, Roanoke did not give me a child, which is why they were wiped off the map.
Do you want to know how it's pronounced?
Sure. Roanoke.
Roanoke.
Oh, I've always heard Roanoke.
I don't know.
I'm going to see if I can find a clip of it. Let's get to our film footsteps.
So, best actor.
Best actor.
Best scene. And then did you enjoy it?
Okay. I want to hear your choice for best actor. It's tough.
You have to give it to Colin Fiore and Patrick Wilde. Yeah. I mean, they're both doing very different things as well.
The full movie of Storm of the Century is online.
Maybe we'll watch it someday.
Maybe we will.
The movie lives or dies by them. And also, I think there's a lot of other people who do very, very solid, commendable jobs, but I just think no one touches either of them.
It's their movie.
Yeah. And it's designed, it's in the literal title. Best scene? I mean, the sex scene is probably the funniest. I do like the sequence.
I'm looking through my notes to see if I can figure out a best scene.
I do like the sequence where they're in the house and Bouchard is in the basement with all the burning weed and he's crawling around
under the bathtub.
Oh,
I don't like that scene
and
at
then,
all.
And then Ward is upstairs and he's trying to like get the body out of the house. I do think that the split between those is pretty funny. But I think for best scene, I think I'm going to go their introduction where they meet at the sign and we get the seed of their rivalry. I really like that scene. And I think the comedy really works and it's hella Canadian and it lets you know the tone going forward. And I think they both get to shine in it. So I'm going to say that. And did I enjoy it? Yes, 12 out of 10. I would watch this movie again in a heartbeat. So, Jason, we agreed on best actors.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to give it for best scene?
Well, first, speaking of best scenes, I have a scene from Storm of the Century.
Nobody cares.
Colm Fiore in Storm. Colm Fiore. It's a clip entitled Hell is Repetition. Here we go. Oh, wait. I got to get through a YouTube ad. I'm sorry.
Actors would know, wouldn't we?
What?
That hell is repetition.
You would.
A whore in Boston when your mother died in Machias. Ma was in that crappy old nursing home they tore down last fall.
Accent.
The one where they found the rats
so
in the
cute.
Pantry, right? She choked to death calling your name. Isn't that sweet? That's all right, Robbie.
Oh my God, he's young.
She's waiting for you in hell. And she's turned cannibal. When you get there, she's going
Who's
to
that?
Eat you alive. Over and over and over again. Because that's what hell is all about, Robbie. Repetition. I think in our hearts, most of us know that. Catch!
I've seen him play Coriolanus. I've seen him play Macbeth. What a great actor. What a fabulous actor. Favorite scene, Jason? Best scene?
This is tough.
I don't think there's one that necessarily stands above the rest.
I honestly think it's the mascot. I think it's them, like, it's them chasing this mascot up and down the stairs, and
they're at a hockey arena.
Yeah, I really think it's them chasing the mascot, because it's like, it's so Canadian that it hurts.
Yeah.
But it also takes advantage of their setting.
Yes.
About a hockey movie.
And they're in a lot of real settings. I don't think there's a single set in this movie.
I don't think there is. The only
maybe
set.
Maybe the office.
No, my guess is the set was the weed farm in the basement.
Because they lit it on fire. And it was real fire, too.
Yeah, no CGI fire. So I bet that was, and I bet both of their police headquarters were.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think the bar was real. I think both of their houses were real.
You could see that the houses were real.
I did look that when
the dancer's hotel place was real.
The ship at the end, they said that they filmed that on a passenger ship.
Mm.
That was a real passenger ship. So yeah, I don't think there were many sets in this movie at all, but I it's just like, you know, to me, like thinking about that, I'm like, oh, I wish they had a scene with a Zamboni machine.
Yeah.
Or I wish they would have had a scene where like they ran into the middle of a hockey game and they had to avoid the players or something like that.
Yeah.
But again, that gets more expensive.
Really dangerous.
But I'm trying to think about like ways to take advantage of the Canadian. So the mascot scene to me is the funniest one. And then is this pass fail, right?
No. Did you enjoy it?
Well, yeah.
Was it good? Did you enjoy it?
Well, I thought we gave it that we have pass fail. That's what we always did. I did, but
you could enjoy it, and it could not be the movie that changed your life.
I did, but I'm also gonna fail it.
Mm.
I did not hate watching this movie. I would be intrigued to watch Bond Cop. Good Cop.
No.
Dan, I don't care anymore. Two Bond, Two Cop.
No.
I'm excited to watch Two Bond, Two Cop, but I also know that I might watch it with my intoxicant of choice to enjoy it a bit better. But I don't think this is a good movie. Here's my thing. I think this might be too Canadian of a movie for an American to enjoy.
Mm.
I defy
all the Americans listening to watch it.
I mean, please do. And if you like it, but like I found having you to explain some things to me made it better.
Yeah.
And I think if I had watched it on my own, I would have turned it off.
Mm.
I probably would have turned it. Cause I did ask you a lot of questions during this movie. What does this mean? What does that mean?
Mm.
Or what are they referring to? Cause I could tell they were referring to something, but I didn't know what it was. So yeah, maybe this movie is very Canadian. Like, I need to change my answer from earlier.
I also know it's weird for Americans to think of Canada as a foreign place because
it's so similar.
We are culturally so similar, but then there are these weird, inexplicable things where, like,
the Francophone of it all is a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you all have a province that exclusively speaks French, basically, and looks down on anybody that doesn't.
Yeah, the best joke of the whole movie is where Colin Fiore is like, "Yes, I speak French," and he was like, "And I can operate in Quebec and in most of New Brunswick because New Brunswick is actually, fun fact, the only functionally bilingual province in all of Canada."
Do you know what makes it functionally bilingual? Like, what exclusively defines that term?
So functionally bilingual means that like everything has to be 50-50.
Oh yeah, because all the road signs in
now all the road signs in the whole country are.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've spent more time in New Brunswick than anywhere else, but it's because New Brunswick has in the northern part this population of people called Acadien. And Acadien are French, so it's just the way New Brunswick was settled. It has the closest to an equal English and French population, like Ontario, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Is a primarily English speaking province, but if you go to Northern Ontario and go to a town like Timmins is primarily Francophone.
Yes, I've heard of Timmins.
Yes, that's where Shania Twain is from.
Our Canadian listeners are getting a bonus episode here,
This goes out to all Travis my Cody Bond. Fellow Canadians.
Hope you're enjoying the hell out of this episode, my friend.
Woo! If you haven't seen Bond Cop, Bad Cop, what are you even doing with your life?
Two Bond, Two Cop.
Now, this is traditionally the time where we tell you what our next movie is going to be.
Yes.
But what are we going to do this time, Jason?
So we're going to get a little bit real here. And I also wonder, actually, should I cut this out? And like, just listen to me. Don't give me a reaction. Like, Ashley's like, what the hell? Her reaction was like, what the hell are you talking about? Basically, what I'm saying is, should I cut this out separately and release, like, put it in the Film Footsteps podcast, but also release this separately as the week after, just in case there are some people that won't listen to Film Footsteps.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, I'm going to make a note for that.
Okay.
So it'll be the same thing, but I will just, like, release it as its own, as its own thing. Okay, so cut out last 10 men's fan for me, please. Separate.
I don't know. You're still talking, so I don't know how I'm supposed to. So,
two Bond, two cop. Trace Bond, Trace cop.
Trois.
And I'm taking him to Spain, baby.
Now we get like we get Tony Dalton joins them as the third cop.
Oh my god, I would watch the hell out of that.
Because he's a good dramatic actor, but he's also funny.
But he does a lot of
and he's age appropriate. Yeah. He could act
Trace
Spanish.
Cop. Trace Mon. Trace cop. Trace Mon.
Bonita cop.
Trace
bad
bon.
Cop.
Trace
What's
bon.
Good in Spanish?
Bueno.
A bueno cop, bad cop.
Trace bueno. Trace cop. okay. Let me write another time code here. Here we go. Okay, so we need to talk about the future of the Film Footsteps Patreon level. Right, Ashley?
Yeah.
So this is going out. This is a separate conversation. We're having this at the end of the Bond Cop, Good Cop. No. I don't care. Two Bond, Two Cop Film Footsteps podcast. We're also releasing this as a separate episode. So we have noticed that a lot of the patrons have not, I'm going to say, been interacting with the Film Footsteps podcast as much as they were interacting with Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures in the Old Time. A lot of people are like behind on the movies or not catching up on the movies or not watching the movies or even not even watching the episodes. We can kind of see the numbers. Mm-hmm. And that's not bad. That's totally fine, guys.
No, just data. It's just a fact.
It's just
There's no tone. There's nothing meant by it. We're presenting this as a fact.
So I wanted to have the conversation here of, and I will even say that Ashley and I have, even on our end, have noticed the production and the time that it takes us to watch a movie, record another podcast, and edit another podcast.
And do the research.
And do the research on top of Jason and Jeremy and on top of Geek History Lesson is getting to be a bit much. So that combined with the Super Friends also not seeming to be interacting with it this much. Mm-hmm. We are opening up the board here to be like, so it seems to me, from my estimations, that we should probably try something else.
It should be a pivot, yeah.
It should be a pivot to something else, which is not a bad thing. So we kind of right now need your help with that because we want to definitely get you something at the $8 level because you're all wonderful, but it needs to be something that does not add a lot of production time to our already insanely packed schedules. Mm-hmm. So the idea that I'm going to pitch, and I don't know if this is going to, you know, what this is going to be like, but we like in whatever the comments you're reading of this post, please let us know. Even is it below in the Film Footsteps or it's below in this, the normal post. The idea that I have had is to do something of, that maybe we do it in a 3-month cycle. So it'd be the idea that like next month, Ashley and I would do a live stream for the $8 level. And it would be kind of a pop culture catch-all where you guys could ask us questions. And we've even talked to Diego Anthony Nunez about jumping onto the show and sort of like joining us as a sidekick on there. And we've even had some conversations about like, what if it was Diego just asked us questions based on your questions so that Ashley and I would have no idea until we sat down what he was going to ask mm-hmm. us. So it'd be kind of his thing.
Yeah, it would be like a fun Reddity style AMA.
Yeah, so we do that. We tell you the time. If not, the audio would be in the feed and you could watch the video for whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think it would be something, which would probably be video, where the next month it would be me, just me, either reviewing something that I've just watched or talking about something in pop culture, you know, for like 20 to 30 minutes. It could be a grab bag. It could
like
be some
personal vlog.
It could be something personal. Mm-hmm. It could be is something that interests me, either a book I'm reading or a thing like that, or, you know, just, you know, and then the very next month after that would be just Ashley in a video. And again, the audio would go in the podcast feed and it'd be Ashley like being passionate about something, like sort of like a film vlog. And then the month after that, we do another live stream. So like every 3 months, you would get a, it would go live stream, Jason, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
If that sounds like something that would interest you, let us know. If not, let us know. But
I'm going to say, if you're going to pitch us something that we haven't already sort of soft suggested here, which you are more than welcome to.
Totally.
Don't pitch a review podcast.
No, we can't do it.
Because I think we've learned that we don't have the capacity for that right now.
We can't.
So please don't ask us to review Smallville.
We can't review Smallville. We literally can't review anything. We cannot do another podcast. It's impossible. We do not have the bandwidth nor the time to do it anymore. We cannot do it. And we know this because Ashley and I have another idea for a podcast that we actually would really want to do. We do not have the bandwidth to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to tell you all what it is.
Because we still might do it someday.
We still might do it someday. But I know if we told you, you would all say, that's the one to do. That's the one to do. Mm-hmm. That's the one to do. I'm not going to tell you what it is because we do not have the time to do it. I cannot edit another podcast, everybody. I do not have the time. And I'm not mad about that. I'm just like literally giving the reality. I do not have the time to edit another podcast. So I guess... Ashley, I'm looking for any insight in here. Any thoughts yourself? Like, I mean, like, is there any other ideas you would like to pitch to them or, you know?
I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
And if there's something specific that, like, if you like this idea, but you're like, oh, I would really like to hear, I would really love it if every time Ashley came on, she talked about whatever the last convention it is that she went to. Or if every time Jason came on, I wish he would tell us about what script he was working on. Like, even if it's like an idea of finessing something that we've already pitched, like, I would be super into that.
Or if you guys wanted me to, like, come on and be like, hey, I'm going to talk about this show because I think it's a good example of writing. Here's why.
Yeah.
Or again, like, I'm totally fine. If I can't go into too many details, but yeah, I would be fine if you wanted me to make it like, if you wanted me to make mine to be like, okay, Jason, yeah, tell us, get into the weeds. Tell us about what you're writing. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you like, okay, well, this week it was this, and this is what I did. And this is how I used the note cards. And so why I thought about it. Da, 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 da.
Because when we were coming up with Film Footsteps, we were trying to do something that remained personal in the style of Jason and Ashley. I don't know if we struck that 100%. Just being, like, you're our patrons, you're here.
Yeah.
I'm happy being flatly transparent with all our successes and failures, which is why we're, like, coming to you with this in the first place, because we trust you and we love you.
And I will say this, if you all are, like, keep Film Footsteps going.
Or if you have suggestions maybe on how you would like to hear it tweaked, like, we're very open to that as well.
Yeah, like, I would be down for considering that. Mm-hmm. I think we just have to find a better way to either pick the movies.
Yeah.
Or
do you just want riff tracks from us? Like, let us know.
Well, maybe you want commentary tracks. You know what? And I know some people would say that, but it's going to be hard to watch a commentary track for a movie you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Like, so that's the reality of commentary tracks.
So I will say, if you want commentary tracks, which, like, again, we're broadly open to, what do you want them for? Do you want commentary tracks for the MCU? Do you want it for all the James Bond movies? Do you want it for the AFI list? Like,
I will say this.
We're hoping for specifics.
Well, I'm going to nix something right out the gate.
Okay.
I'm nixing the MCU.
I was just saying it as an example.
Yeah. But I'm saying that to our listeners.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over the MCU, to be honest with you listeners.
Yeah.
So that would not excite me at all. I would be down for the James Bond movies. I know Tom Trainor said in one of the, Discord, he said, I would love to hear a commentary track on some of the Mission Impossible movies. Now, that would be something that I would do by myself.
You would have to.
Yes.
Because I would not have anything to contribute.
So that's what I'm saying. But, like, if you guys, like, let me know if you like this idea, because I actually, to be honest with you, I'm kind of excited by the Jason's personal vlog, Ashley's personal vlog, pop culture show.
Yeah.
Repeat. Because one, that allows me and Ashley to push out of the farm or like push the boundaries of what this is.
Yeah. What do you want? Relationship advice? We got you.
Yeah. I mean, even that or writing advice. I mean, I don't know, like Ashley, like, I mean, I don't know if it would be interesting for you to like do a Lord of the Rings corner every other month or like to be like, this is a thing that I've been thinking about with Lord of the Rings or even like tarot or, you know, like, I don't know. Like, anyways, we'll see what you say. But I will say we'll have to make a decision. So like next month, I think we're going to probably do a live stream.
Yeah.
To just reset.
Yeah. And probably to announce whatever the next step is going to be. So look forward to that and to joining us live. We would love to see you live.
Yes. We got to figure out all that details and all that stuff. I don't know. That'll probably be August, I guess. I don't know. Cause we're almost at the end of July. It's weird.
Yeah. So this will come out in July. We're so planning it'll, on it'll the be, air. It'll be sometime in
it'll
August.
Probably be the end of August because yeah. we'll need a lot of time to figure that out. And then, yeah, I don't know.
We're not looking at this as something that's like sad. We're looking at this as an opportunity. And like, this is exciting because it's something new.
Well, we just want to
try. And I'm like happy that everyone is going to be involved with us.
Well, it's the thing, right? Well, like it has to be something that we are excited to create, mm-hmm. but it also has to be something that you all are excited to
engage with. Yeah.
And again, that's the thing. We're looking at Film Footsteps. We're kind of like, well, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like we're listening to you all. Like you are a community of our super friends. We love you. You're exciting and you guys have kept us going and we love it. Like you all are the reason that Geek History Lesson exists. And I thank you for that. And I owe you forever for that. But I will say that like, yeah, if you're not digging Film Footsteps, we want to give you something you dig.
Yeah.
Exactly. Totally cool.
Yeah.
And right now we don't really know what that is. But again, if live show, live stream, personal writing vlog, Ashley personal vlog, live stream, and a 3-month cycle sounds good to you, then let's do it. Let's do it all. Let's do it, you know? It's not like the episodes of Film Festival are going anywhere.
Yeah, they'll still be here.
Yeah. It's also not any reason why we couldn't just do it anyway. Like we couldn't throw in a Film Footsteps here and there.
Yeah,
the movie
could.
Thing in there, you know, be yeah. like, oh, hey, you know, like, let's do this. Let's do that. You know? Yeah, I don't know. That's all we got.
Okay.
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 Bond cop.
Très in French means very.
Yeah. Very cop. Very good. Very cop.
Très bon.
I would watch that movie. Très cop. Très bon.
The fun fact before you leave, the French word for cop, like the casual for police is flic. Les flic.
Les flic.
F-L-I-C. Les flic.
All right. Cool. By the way, intern Kat Brago is scrounged up to the right over here. He's sleeping very sleepily. And, you know, we'll be putting out a post soon about... his medical issues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's not been helping out with the podcast too much because of that.
No, this is why we need to not make any more podcasts.
We lost
our intern.
That's what happened. We lost the intern's help and we just like got overwhelmed.
Yep.
So there you go. All right. Thank you so much for listening to Film Footsteps. What happens next? We don't know, but we're so glad you're here and around for it. Don't go anywhere.
Are you be so sad.
Are you still there? Good for you, stayed. We really like it. We really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And we'll hear you next time around the bend, whatever that's going to be.
Yeah, in some way, shape, or form.
Woo!